Welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. Join your host, Rhonda Arl, and Laura Forehand.
We want to help you as teachers reach your full potential by keeping you up to date with all the latest and best Whole Brain Teaching strategies.
Whole Brain Teaching is a grassroots educational reform movement founded by Coach Chris Biffle, Jay Vanderfin, and Chris Reckstad. Whole Brain Teaching's goal is to create peaceful classrooms through orderly fun.
To support the podcast, please like and share with other teachers.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
And now, here are Laura and Rhonda.
Hello, welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. I'm Rhonda Arlt, and I'm so glad to be here with my Whole Brain Teaching bestie, Laura. How are you doing today, Laura?
I'm doing good. The wind is whipping around here in Northwest Missouri. I almost forgot where I lived, but...
Well, you're going okay.
It is. Can you believe we're like at the end of the third quarter? So we literally have one more quarter left. That is crazy, crazy. But... to get on to today's topic, we are so excited to have Coach Chris Biffle joining us on the podcast once again. We have an exciting new segment before we start into the meat of our podcast. And seriously, listeners, this was told to Rhonda and I about 2 minutes ago. So it is brand new and we're really excited. It's called Big Questions. And these are questions teachers have posted on the Super Improver page of Facebook. And so, Coach, we are excited to hear what these questions are. We're ready to get your advice. So what is the first question you have for us?
Very good. So this question was posted this morning. We'll call this person Teacher One. What are some strategies for connecting with an extremely beloved rascal who doesn't want to connect, or at least thinks, acts like they don't want to connect? That's a beautiful question. Could we at least give that a five-star classic question, Rhonda? What do you say?
I definitely think that's a great question, especially to start with this new segment, because a lot of times you feel like that child doesn't want to connect. So let's hear it, Coach. What are your strategies?
I'm thinking a couple of things. One, if you keep knocking on a rascal's door, they are enjoying not opening it, a certain kind of kid. So the first step would be to stop knocking on that student's door. The next step would be to focus on an achievable goal. If that student, Laura, is not fond of connecting with you, we want them to be connecting in a positive way with at least one other kid in class. What do you think so far, Laura?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I wonder too, you know, maybe they don't know how to connect. And so, and maybe they don't know how to connect with an adult. So I agree with you, making that connection, making that achievable goal to connect with maybe one other student in the classroom.
This strategy is 20 years old, but it really works, Rhonda. Okay. You go into class one day and you say, we're gonna play the birthday game. I want you to write down the names of three kids in class who you would invite to your birthday. I'm thinking about rearranging the seating, you say, which in fact you may not be. And so the kids write down the names of three kids they would invite to their birthday party. Give that piece back to us, Rhonda.
Okay, so you can go in one day and just say, hey, we're going to play a birthday game, have the students write down three names of people that they would invite to their birthday, and say that you're kind of thinking about rearranging the seating arrangement.
Okay, you take the birthday game names home, and you put them on a piece of paper, and if Jack connects with Maria, you draw a line from Jack to Maria. If Maria connects with Jose, you draw a line from Maria to Jose. The kid with the most incoming arrows is the most popular kid in class. And when we've done this, ladies, we've often been surprised at who was the popular child. Laura, explain that back to me. Go.
Okay, so after we've done the birthday game, we're going to take those names home of those students, and we're going to draw a line from a students who connect with other students. So, and then whoever has the most lines directed toward that name, that is the quote unquote popular student. And this can be surprising for us.
This reveals the subterranean hidden social structure in your class, which you need to know no matter what else you do. Then what I would do is I would take a look at who, let's call the kid Jack. I'd take a look at who Jack wants to connect with. I would seat them together as necessary. But even better than that, I would pay more attention to Jack's bestie than Jack. I would connect with the bestie. I would have talks with the bestie about video games. And I believe that Jack is not going to be too fond of being set aside. So I'm building connections with the bestie. I'm also setting the two of them together so that they can develop their connection so long as they're on task. And I might even say, look, the two of you kids are working so well together, I'm going to make you a super improver team, which we've never had before. The two of you have to improve in raising your hand for permission to speak or following directions quickly. When I see the two of you working together, then you'll both get a super improver star and a dice roll. So a number of connections there. Find out who the most popular kid is. Link your reluctant student to that kid, link that kid to their bestie, make them teammates, and don't knock quite so hard on that rascal's door. Your goal is just to get them to connect to someone. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rhonda?
I like this, Coach. I mean, I've heard about the name writing down part of it, but I like the idea of the super improver team where they know that they can work together so it's not all on the bestie or all on that beloved rascal.
A second question, ladies, is we have a teacher who says this: my extremely beloved rascal eats breakfast with me every morning so I can get some connection time. That's great. We talk gaming, YouTube, and wrestling daily. I'm finding it hard to ask new questions about things I don't know anything about. He won't share anything personal. Asking about his evening might shut him down. Any ideas? So this is a classic situation. Unlike the previous teacher, this teacher has been able to make a connection, but they're running out of gas. How badly, Laura, do you think this person wants some new ideas here? Go.
Yeah, and I can relate to that too. Like when you do run out of things to ask, but you want a little bit deeper connection. So I'm curious to hear what your answer is to this.
I would make a card with the wonder words on it: who, what, where, when, why, how similar and how different. And I would say to this child and to other children, look, let's play a new game. It's called Wonder Words. And you can ask me any wonder words questions. I'll ask you wonder words questions. But I especially want to ask you questions about wrestling. So you use those eight questions. Who's your favorite wrestler? What is your favorite wrestling hold? Why are you so crazy about wrestling? How is your passion for wrestling different than your passion for Fortnite? This gives us lots of questions. And then you can say, go ahead and stump me. You asked me some Wonder Words questions about wrestling. And let's see if I get 1 out of 10 right. So use the Wonder Words questions, which we adore, as a stream through our classroom to build deeper, more complex relations with kids. I'm on a roll today, ladies. These are our first two questions. I'm feeling good, especially about this last one. What do you think, Rhonda?
I like this idea, Coach. I mean, I think the the Wonder Word cards. I remember I had them on popsicle sticks sometimes, and I would do it whole class, but this would be great just to engage in conversation. So I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to the topic for today, Laura. Laura?
Yeah.
I bet you got it written down somewhere. Give it to us.
All right. Yes. So today's podcast topic is actually based on your new ebook that is on Teachers Pay Teachers. Whole Brain Teaching for Extremely Beloved Rascals. And our focus this week is the power of the connectivity average. So ready to listen, Coach. Go ahead.
All right, ladies. We definitely want everybody to take a look at this free download on Teachers Pay Teachers. It really is the missing piece in our huge system. We've got a way to teach writing, color writing. We've got a way to teach math, super speed math. We've got a way to teach reading, super speed 100, super speed 1000, Biffy tunes. We've got a way to teach critical thinking, wonder words, grammar with brainies, motivation with super improver and scoreboard. We got the big picture, but we're missing a central piece of the pie, and that is, what do we do for our kids that need the most help? All right. Here's the deal. The first thing you need to do, and listen to me, teachers, this student makes you feel like you're not getting anywhere. It's the same old, same old, same old. And you're obsessing about this student. You're taking this student home with you every night. And your relationships at home may be paying a price. So we need a way to focus on the progress that you are making. Summarize the importance, Laura, of telling if you're getting anywhere. It's a long year, ladies.
Oh, Coach, I feel like you have been a fly on the wall in my classroom some years because, having that, you know, there are some students that you just wonder, am I making a difference? Am I getting anywhere with this student? And yeah, and I'm sure Rhonda, you can agree with this, that many times we did bring that home and we would fret about it all night. I know you and I, Rhonda, have had several conversations on many of our students together and just how, I mean, late into the evenings, we're just texting back and forth. How can we help them? How can we connect with them?
Rhonda, I will say, is nodding her head vigorously.
Yes. Yes.
But I all like right. What you said is to focus on the progress.
Yes.
That changes right. Your thinking.
So get out your once a week. Do this once a week without fail. It takes 5 minutes, but it's the biggest boost you can make, I believe, to your growth as a teacher. Rhonda, get out your roll sheet, and you're going to score the improvement in your connection with each child. You're not scoring each child's behavior. You're not even scoring how well you're connecting with the child. We want to score your growth in connection. So if you're very unhappy with your connecting growth, that's a 1. Unhappy with your connecting growth, that's a 2. You got mixed feelings, that's a 3. You're happy that relationship is moving forward. That's a 4. You're very happy. Wow, something happened this week that you hadn't seen before. That's a 5. Rhonda, tell us about the 1 through 5, scoring the growth of your connecting. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to need help right away. I didn't get down number 1. Number 2 is unhappy. So what was number 1?
Number 1 is very unhappy.
Very unhappy. Okay. So 3... So we have very unhappy as your 1, 2 is your unhappy, 3 is kind of that mix, you're not real sure. Or would be like you're seeing some progress with that connection with that child. And then like 5 would be something maybe that you have not seen before with that child that is just like maybe totally off the charts.
Very happy. Now, Laura. Mm-hmm. I know the last thing you want to do at the end of the day or the end of the week is more work, but I'm telling you, Laura, you're already working round and round and round and round about this kid and some other kids. This is a way to put a stopper in it. Look at what the score is and get back to your knitting and your kneading and your weeding. Laura, I want you to put a stopper in it, and I want you to just see, this is where I am. I'll take the weekend off. Talk about the importance, Laura, of doing something instead of spinning round and round and round inside your head. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of like any type of data that we collect, right? Yes. So it gives us the information that we need. And this is a way to get that information that we need. And it puts a stop because now we know and we can take the weekend to breathe. And then go from there as the new week approaches.
I strongly encourage teachers to take the day off when the day ends, to take the weekend off, and to teach with everything you got from bell to bell, mm-hmm. and then move on with tolerating your spouse or whatever the life challenge is. All right, Rhonda, yes. You score every kid. Add up the numbers and divide by the number of kids. That will give you the beginning of an average. But here's the problem, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. You add up the numbers and you come up to, oh, I'm averaging 4. I'm happy with. No. When you add up the numbers, then you multiply the result by 20. So you felt good about 4 as your average, but when you multiply it by 20, you see your average is really a B minus, and 100 is something that is way off in the distance. Multiply by 20 so you can see the growth that still remains, Rhonda. Talk to your brother and sister teachers out there about seeing the gap.
All right. Well, you've got this nice... clear formula where we can add up all of these student numbers, then you divide it by the number of students that you have, and that's going to equal your average. But you have to multiply it by 20 so you can actually see where you're at.
So, Laura, you get the number, you see where you have to go, and then pick one or two kids and work on your connection. Now, Laura, here's the reason I want you to think about the improvement of your connection. If you're thinking about the growth of your connection, a sweetie pie may end up being a 1 or 2 because that connection is not going anywhere. They're not a bad kid. They're just such a good kid. You're not paying any attention to them, and you're not growing in knowing more about them. You may have Wild Jack. And Wild Jack, though he remains Wild Jack, you might score a 4 or 5 because the kid is making some progress. Come on now. He's mm-hmm. raising his hand 3 times this last week to ask a question about class or whatever. So you're not scoring the kids. You're scoring how you're growing in knowing these kids better. And that way, all year is... you're on the growth path mm-hmm. with every kid. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Laura, talk about that.
Yeah, so we're looking at the connectivity and we're looking at our improvement with that connectivity. And before we even had you come on today, Ron and I were talking about that exact thing about how all teachers, you know, we need to continue to try to improve ourselves. And this is one way in our classroom that we can do that with exactly what you're talking about. Looking for those ways to improve our connection with our students.
Now we have a host of suggestions in the new book, Whole Brain Teaching for Challenging Kids, second edition, in chapter 8 about building connections, but let's just race through them. Make eye contact. Look for a smile, return for a smile. Find out about their alpha honk. Give kids specific praise. Find out what their secret sauce is, their particular passion. perhaps it's wrestling. But Andre Desitel came up with a winner in staff meeting. He said, you need to tell kids this. I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Just start administering the love sauce. And a teacher already reported on Facebook, she had an extremely beloved rascal. She told him four or five times, I love you, there's nothing you can do about it. He leaves a note on her desk that says, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Bingo. Let's try the love sauce. How about it, Rhonda?
I love it. Andre's always great with these ideas, but I love the love sauce where you tell that child, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
So what you're doing with the connectivity average, so many benefits. One, you're overcoming the feeling that you're not getting anywhere. Two, you're stopping the depressing spiral in your head about this kid over and over and over again. You're looking at the class as a whole, which is what you should be doing. You're assessing growth, your growth that you are in control of, not the individual kid. And you're giving yourself some concrete data that'll take no more than 5 minutes to generate and set the course for next week. You know what the course is for next week. Paul is down there at a one and Maisie's at a three, and you think, these are kids I can grow with. Now, big point, ladies. We put on Facebook this last week, ask your kids if they'd rather have a super improver star or lunch with you. Shocking result. We both know that super improver stars motivate like nothing else. I would say minimum 75% of kids, and in some cases 90 to 100% of kids, would rather have lunch with the teacher than a super improver star. Did you see that data, Laura?
I did. Yep. And I believe it.
All right.
My kids ask me every week, and Friday is kind of our day to have lunch. If I'm going to have lunch with students, I'll make it Friday, like end of the week. And the number of kids that want to have lunch with a teacher or me, you know, because I am their teacher, it's amazing, you know?
All right. Now listen. Never give kids something they really want. You have to gamify it, and it makes it more fun. So Laura, you're going to say, usually about this point of the year, I know some of you have been asking about lunch and we've had some nice lunches. Laura, what grade do you teach?
Third.
I'm getting you all ready for fourth grade and we're changing super improvers slightly. If I give you a star and you win a dice roll, if it comes up one, you get the star. Or you can have lunch with me, whichever you want. That makes the dice roll thrilling. And kids will see that one come up and go cuckoo about having lunch with Ms. Laura. Talk about a golden connection. Laura, guarantee me you're going to do that next week and you can report on it next Sunday. Go.
I love this idea. So... So when kids earn a dice roll, if it comes up with a number one on there, then they can choose between a super improver star or lunch with the teacher. Yeah. So, yeah.
So there's no more automatic Friday lunch.
Okay.
Table.
Okay.
That makes it more special. Rhonda, how important is it to make something more special?
Well, it's very important, I will say. I like the idea of not guaranteeing that they get it. It puts that funtricity into it. Uncertain reward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We encourage everybody to download the new ebook. It's free. And we will keep going through the games in that ebook. We've already talked about Rochambeau. So we'll pick up another game next time. But for a few weeks now, we're just focusing on things that'll help extremely beloved rascals and the rest of your class, too.
Yes. Yay. Yes.
Well, Coach, thank you for giving us some time today to talk about connection, which I think is very important for teachers to have in the classroom. Sometimes connections with our most beloved rascals can be the hardest. However, it is what they may be craving most from us as their teachers. We want to remind you to order your own copy of Coach's latest book, Holbrain Teaching for Challenging Kids, second edition on Amazon. He mentioned some of those in chapter 8 that he mentioned are in that book. Check out our website at www.holbrainteaching.com. Our Holbrain Teaching official store and Teachers Pay Teachers is where this ebook that he is referencing is about. And look at those Holbrain Teaching Facebook pages. Hopefully we can continue answering a couple of questions on the podcast. So when Coach asks for those, get those into him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Coach, I know I've heard several times in many different places that we are hardwired for connection. So this is a very timely podcast. So thank you for bringing that to us. For our listeners, please continue to like, subscribe, and share this podcast everywhere and with everyone. We are incredibly thankful for your listenership. And until next time, bye-bye.